Praise the Lord. God is good. Oh, there you go, all the time. That's right. Praise the Lord. You know, I'm going to pause for a word of prayer before I get into the word. Father, I just ask you to have your way here today. Lord, I only want to share that which you would have me share today. I thank you for what you're going to minister through us today, Lord, and just thank you for the things that were said back in Sunday school. And I thank you for the things that you've laid on my heart, because I believe they all go together. And I just ask you to just open our ears and let us hear what your Spirit is really saying to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. I'd like to say for anybody that's listening to this that one of our dear brothers passed away. He passed into the presence of the Lord Wednesday, Lonnie Hubbard. His memorial service will be here on the 29th at 2 p.m. So anybody that would happen to listen to one of these CDs, if you knew Lonnie Hubbard, you're welcome to come to that memorial service. Praise God. You know, I'm going to start off here and I'm going to tell you a little story, joke, or whatever you want to call it. One day a little girl was sitting and watching her mother do the dishes at the kitchen sink. And she suddenly noticed that her mother had several strands of white hair sticking out in contrast to her brunette head. She looked at her mother and inquisitively asked, "Why are some of your hairs white, Mom?" Her mother replied, "Well, every time that you do something wrong and make me cry or unhappy, one of my hairs turn white." The little girl thought about this revelation for a while, and then she said, "So, Mom, how come all of Grandma's hairs are white?" You think she was telling Mom in your face? I like that, you know. I'm sure I gave my mother quite a few gray ones over the years. I'm sure we all did. Praise the Lord. You know, back in Sunday school, we were talking about, we've still been in Psalm 91. I always say 92. It's 91. And we've been in there for a couple months, I guess. You know, and it's a great psalm. And Rich today was talking about some of the names of God. And, you know, I think it would do, like I say, I encourage you all to come to Sunday school. It would do you good because there's a lot of discussion back there. It's an open class. It's something where you can share. And then if you have any questions, you can ask questions and get your questions answered a lot of times. But anyway, the title to my sermon today is called Last Adam. Okay? And some of these scriptures I'm going to read to you are going to sound familiar because the Lord keeps bringing me back to the same portion of scripture over and over and over. So just listen to this as I read this. And I'm just praying that God just open your ears that you really hear what the Spirit is saying today. "But now thus saith the Lord..." And this is 43:1-13. But now, Isaiah 43:1-13. "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, and I have called thee by thy name, and thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for a ransom, and Ethiopia and Sabea for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, and thou hast been honorable, I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather them from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory, and I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Bring forth, and I love that he says that, for I've created him for my glory, yea, I have made him. And that's kind of singular when you say him. He didn't say them, he said him. And it says, bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled among them. Who can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witness that they may be justified, or let them hear and say it is truth. You know, there's going to come a day, folks, when the things that we're preaching and the things that we're saying, people out there are going to start proclaiming, my God, that's the truth. And I finally hear it, you know. And a lot of times, they don't have ears to hear at this point, you know, but they're going to have them. You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servants, whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Therefore, before me, there was no God formed, and neither shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved. I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore you are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, who will let it? And that last verse there, I'm going to read it to you out of another translation. I'm going to read it to you out of the New Living Translation. And it says, from eternity to eternity, I am God. No one can snatch anyone out of my hand. No one can undo what I have done. Wow, I love that. That is strong. No one can undo what I have done. Now I'm going to ask you the question, what has he done? And I'm going to read you a little bit and tell you what he's done. And, you know, when Jesus died on Calvary, and we were talking about Calvary back there in Sunday school, when Jesus died on Calvary, and the name Calvary literally means a skull, a cranium, Calvary the skull, you know. And you know what's up there, don't you, inside of that thing? Your thoughts, your intentions, your purposes, all of those things there. And he says, when Jesus died on Calvary, he was your substitute. And not only yours, but for the whole world. And I want you to realize that. Not only yours, but for the whole world. When he rose on the third day, he was a life-giving spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want you to know we're in the third day, folks. We're in the third day. And I'm going to tell you this. You rose with him as we walk in newness of life. If you have identified with the fact that he died as you, he took your place, he was your substitute, then you must realize that when he was resurrected, he was resurrected as you also. Now you say, Oscar, now why'd you say that? That's the kind of strong statement to say. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And I wrote a little something at the end of that. As me. As me. He rose as me. Okay? That's kind of a strong thing to say. 1 Corinthians 6, 2 and 3 says, do you not know that the saints shall judge the world, and that the world shall be judged by you? Are you unworthy to judge the smallest of matters? Know you not that you shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? Now, I'm going to go, before I read this next portion of scripture, I'm going to go back into Genesis for just a minute. Genesis 1 says, In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the word there, in the beginning, if you look at that Hebrew word, it also has the meaning of the beginning, but it also has the meaning of the first fruits. And when it says God created the heavens and the earth, it's the word Elohim. And we were talking about Elohim back in Sunday school. Elohim is a plural word. It's not a singular word. And we know our God is one, singular, in that sense, okay? But I'm going to tell you what, when it says back there that Elohim created the heavens and the earth, I'm going to tell you something that maybe you don't know. You was in him. You was in him. And you say, well, Oscar, what are you talking about? Hang on just a minute. Hold on to your seat. Psalm 82, 1 through 8. And this is out of the Bible in basic English. And I'm just going to read it to you in that because I love the way this first verse says here. God is in the meeting place of God. He was judging among the gods. Now those words, all of those words in this whole Psalm 82 are the word Elohim. He was in the Elohim. And he had a big meeting. And he called everybody in and says, okay. And if you can understand what I'm saying. He said, okay, I'm going to do some wonderful things. I'm going to create something. And you as being part of me are going to be part of this creation. Now, like I say, this, you ain't going to hear too many people say this, but that's what he was saying. You're part of me. You're part of the Elohim, okay? And it says, God, in the meeting place of God, he is judging among the gods. And all those words for God there are Elohim, same word. How long will you go on judging falsely? Have respect for persons of evildoers, Shelah. Give ear to the cause of the poor and the children without fathers. You know, I want you to listen, folks. Paul said we have many teachers and stuff out there, but we don't have very many fathers. People with the father nature, with the father attitude. You know what a father wants for his son or his daughter or whatever? He wants them to grow up and be more successful than he was. If he's a good father, he does. And he'll do everything he can to try to help them do that. To the point of sometimes putting second mortgages on their house so they can send them to college or doing this or doing that or putting themselves in financial jeopardy to try to make their children more successful. And I'm talking in the natural here now. But I want you to know that it's time for some of the fathers in the body of Christ to begin to rise up and to begin to take some of the children out there. And when I'm talking about children, a lot of people ain't going to like this. A lot of the children are the ones sitting in them pews out in other churches. They're children. You know, they're listening to the preacher get up there and pipe some words out. And he's putting a lot of stuff out there. And sometimes it's not very scriptural, even the things he's putting out there. And he's got everybody going to hell and everybody burning up and doing a whole bunch of things. And I want you to know that is not God's intention, that is not his purpose, and that's not what he's going to do. And as we go on here a little bit, we'll see that. Give ear to the cause of the poor and the children without father. Let those that are troubled and in need have their rights. And you know what your right is? Your right is to be a child of God, a son of God, or a daughter of God. That's the right of all mankind. When God created man in the beginning, in Genesis, when he created man, he created him to be in his image and in his likeness. He created Adam originally to be that. He took Eve out of Adam, which made Adam an incomplete being. I'm going to tell you that. You won't hear that people say that either. Man was a complete being at one time. He had both male and female inside of him. He was complete because he took something out of Adam and created woman. And the woman sinned, and the woman was a type of the soul, the soulish man. And I'm going to tell you, Adam came along and he went along with that whole situation. It doesn't say there that Adam took of the fruit. It doesn't say that. Eve took it and gave it to him. And he knew God. He walked with God. But I'm going to tell you what, he yielded to that. And I'm going to tell you, Adam was a part of the Elohim. And you're not going to hear too many people say this stuff, but he was a part of the Elohim. And it says here, it says, give your to the cause of the poor and to the children without fathers. Let those that are troubled and in needy have their rights. Now listen to this. Be the savior of the poor. Those who have nothing, take them out of the hand of the evil doers. Now, you know, we know that we only have one Savior. That's Jesus. He's the only Savior. There's no other Savior other than Him. But I can show you in Scripture where it says, and I saw Saviors, more than one, standing upon Mount Zion. And I got news for you. Scripture says, as He is in this world, so are we. You understand that? Listen to that. As He is in this world, so are we. So if He's a Savior, then you being part of the Elohim of God, you also are a Savior. Because as you allow that Spirit of Christ in you to come out and minister to people, it's not really you ministering to those people. It's God ministering to them people out of you. It's His nature flowing out of you. It's His nature showing them love and showing them mercy and all of the things that He showed to you initially. Okay? And it says, be ye the saviors of the poor and those that have nothing. Take them out of the hand of the evildoers. They have no knowledge or sense. They go about in the dark. All the bases of the earth are moved. Now, you know, right now we're in the baseball season, and I like this because it goes along with bases here. We're in the baseball season. And if you've watched any of those playoff games, if all of a sudden somebody got a single and they ran down toward first base and it wasn't there, it was somewhere out in the outfield or had been moved somewhere else, what a chaos that would create. That guy'd run down there and he'd say, what do I do? Where do I go? You know, and that's where creation is right now. Because everything's out of kilter. It's not where it's supposed to be. It's not where God intends for it to be. Okay? And it says, they have no knowledge. They go about in the dark. All of the bases of the earth are moved. And even if you had a night game and all of a sudden you got a single, and we had this happen with Jacob one time. He was playing in a tournament. And they had some guys on base, and it was dark, and the lights were on, and it got past 11:30, and they had a chance to win this game if somebody got a single. Guy hits a ball, and the lights go out. I'm not kidding. It absolutely happened. Hit a ball, and the lights went out. When the lights went out, everybody's standing around going, what happened? Did they catch the ball? Did they not catch the ball? You know, they couldn't really see the bases. They couldn't see any. It was pitch dark over there. And I don't think there was a whole lot of moonshine that night or anything. It was dark. But that's the way creation is right now, folks. They're in the dark. You know, but I tell you what, that's all getting ready to change. It's getting ready to change. And it's going to change mightily when it changes. And it's going to change because you're going to have a part in it. Praise the Lord. It said, they have no knowledge or sense. They go about in the dark. All the bases of the earth are moved. Now listen to this. I said, you're gods. Now this is God speaking through the psalm back here. I said, you are gods. Elohim. I said, you are Elohim. And all of you are sons of the Most High. Now wait a minute. This was in the Old Testament. Jesus even told them one time, you get on me because I say I'm the Son of God. And he said, your very scriptures declare that. He was quoting the scripture right here. You know, that you're gods, you know. And don't get me wrong, it's not a different God. It's all one God. And he said, I said, you are gods and are all sons of the Most High, but you will die like men. And that word for men there is you'll die like Adam. Falling like one of the rulers of the earth. Now listen to what he says. Up, God. He's saying, get up. Realize who you are. Realize what you are. The earth is out of course. It's out of kilter. Begin to realize who and what you are in God. And he says, up, God, come as a judge of the earth, for all the nations are your heritage. Now, do you realize I read you that scripture up here? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world is judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest of matters? Know you not that we shall judge angels, how much more the things that pertain to life? That's New Testament. This is Old Testament. There ain't no difference, folks. I don't even like calling it the Old Testament, because I'm telling you what, the revelations of God were back there just as much, and sometimes in greater ways almost than they are sometimes in the New Testament. Now, Isaiah 60, 1 through 5. This is back to the King James Version. Arise and shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. You know why? Because you're part of the Elohim. That's who you are. You're part of that. That word Elohim, remember what I told you initially? It's a plural word. It's not a singular word for God back there. And there's different words. And Rich is going to bring this out in his Sunday school class. And y'all should try to come back there. I'm telling you. I get disappointed sometimes when I see five or six people sitting back there, or four or five people. You're missing a lot of good teaching. You're missing a lot of revelation. And you know, everybody back there shares, and it flows and fits together perfectly, I'm telling you. And he didn't know what I was going to share here today. I didn't know what he was going to share there today. But I'm going to tell you what, you could take this stuff I've said and lay it right on top of what he said back there, and it fits perfectly together. And he said, arise, for thy light has come, the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee, for behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. And the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. The Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thy eyes round about, and see, all they gather themselves together to come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far off, and thy daughters shall nurse at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thy heart shall fear and be enlarged, because of the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. Now, when it talks about the sea, it's talking about the sea of humanity. And I'm going to tell you what, when we begin to start arising and shining, and begin to start realizing who and what we are in Christ, and quit thinking that we're some poor, wretched sinner, that we just, oh, bless God, I just hope I make it into heaven. Maybe I'll get there someday if I do all the good stuff I can. It ain't about that, folks. It's all about his grace, his mercy, his love. He paid the whole debt for you. He took your place when he was crucified on Calvary. He was your substitute. That's why you're to reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto him. You know, you're crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, you live, not you, but Christ. Okay? And it says there, and when then shalt thou see the float and flow together, and thy heart shall fear. And remember what, when talking about your heart fearing, fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. And be enlarged, because of the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto who? Unto thee, unto you. People are waiting for Jesus to do this thing. I got news for you, folks. He's waiting for you to begin to acknowledge who and what you are in Christ. You're going to do this thing. But it's not going to really be you. It's going to be you in the corporate body of Christ, all speaking as one. It's time for the body of Christ to grow up. And it says, of the abundance of seed shall be converted unto thee, and the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. You know what? He took a people out of the Gentiles for his name. And name is synonymous with nature. Name is synonymous with character. And when you're called by his name, guess what? You know, when me and Margaret got married, she used to be a Scot, and she became a Bowling. And when she became a Bowling, then all the credit cards I had, all the deeds I had on everything, everything that I had became hers. And you know what? It's just as much hers as it is mine. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed, not to us, because everybody thinks it's going to be revealed to you. It's going to be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God, because they're going to be set free into glorious liberty of being the children of God too. It doesn't say they're going to be sent off to hell. They're going to burn in hell forever. It says they're going to be set free. All of creation. That's right. And when I'm going to tell you what, even the teachings on hell are very erroneous. They're very erroneous. They're not very good teachings, most of them, I'll be honest with you. There's a whole bunch of different words that are translated as the word hell, and I'll say that to you. Some of them just mean the grave. Some of them just mean the Valley of Hinnom. There's different ones. But boy, they've concocted a big fairy tale story that it's terrible. You know, what did David say? He said, if I take the wings of the morning and ascend into the uttermost heights, behold, thou art there. He said, if I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. I got news for you. God's everywhere. His presence is everywhere. The only difference of someone that's in the grave or someone that didn't know Jesus is that they haven't come to that revelation knowledge of him yet. He hasn't been revealed to them yet. And I'm going to tell you what, and I'll tell you this. You know, old Paul, he was out there and he was preaching the word, and he thought he was really doing God's business, man. I mean, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, you know. And, buddy, he was just out there carrying them, laying his garments at the feet. They were laying the garments at his feet, and they were watching Stephen being stoned to death. And he was doing all this stuff, and, boy, he was just a religious guy. Until he's walking down the road, going down the road one day, and a bright light appears unto him. And the Lord speaks to him and says, Paul, isn't it hard, or Saul, isn't it hard for you to kick against the pricks or against the cactus or against the gourd or whatever you want to call it? It's a lot of different meanings there. Isn't it hard for you to go against the things? And you know what Paul said? Who are you, Lord? It's funny they said, Lord. He didn't say, hey, what is this? What's going on here? Who are you, Lord? There was something inside of him that said, man, God's speaking to me. God's speaking to me. And I'm going to tell you something else. That was probably the first time God had ever really spoken to Paul, because he was as religious as could be up until that point. And you know, he was smitten with blindness. And then when he was smitten with blindness, what's God do? He sends Ananias down to Paul's house. And Paul was persecuting the church. They was carrying him off and having him stoned and everything else. And yet when he sent Ananias down there, Ananias had, it's like you, if the Lord speaks to your heart and tells you to go to the meanest, rottenest, dirtiest person you know, and you think, or some mass killer or something like that, and you think, oh my God, how can I do that? You feel just how Ananias felt, because that's the way he felt. He said, Lord, isn't he the one that persecutes the church? Isn't he the one that has people killed? And I mean, if you want to read between the lines, that's what he basically was saying to God. God said, I want you to go and speak to him and show him how great a thing he's going to have to suffer for my name's sake. And brother, if he hadn't followed through and did what God said, a big part of that Bible wouldn't even be in there today unless somebody else was obedient and did it. But I'm going to tell you what. Know this. You're called to wonderful things. You're part of the Elohim. You're part of God. You know, people don't understand that a lot of times. They think when you say something like that, well, bless God, Oscar, you're exalting yourself. No, I'm not. I'm not exalting myself. I ain't got anything to be exalted about. The only good in me is the amount of God that's in me. Now, the rest of it is, it ain't worth a hill of beans. But I just want you to know that when you were born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, each seed is after its kind. When Margaret and I came together and we loved each other and we had Jennifer, Jennifer's name was not Sally Smith. Her name was Jennifer Bowling. And when Mark was born, his name wasn't Mark Wilson, I'll say. It was Mark Bowling. You know why? Because he was birthed out of the Bowling family. When you were birthed into the family of God, guess what? You received that name. When something ever happens that me and Mark go to the other side, guess who's going to inherit everything that we had? Mark and Jennifer. And you know what? When Jesus stepped through the veil into the other side, into the realm of the Spirit, guess what you did? Amen. You inherited everything that he had. But you don't believe it most of the time, and you don't receive it because you don't believe it. Bless God, I can't do those things. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You're more than a conqueror. He's called you a king and priest unto him. You're part of the Melchizedek priesthood order. That's an order of blessing and not cursing. Quit saying mean things about people. Start blessing them in the name of the Lord now. You know, you're part of Melchizedek. All Melchizedek did in the Old Testament, he brought forth bread and wine. And he blessed Abraham because he was a priest of the Most High God. El Elyon, the Most High God. And you know who El Elyon was? El Elyon means possessor of heaven and earth. So he was a priest of Jesus Christ. And he was, and I believe, an incarnation of Jesus Christ. Because all he did was bless. And we're called to bless and curse not. We're called for the fruit of our lips to be fruitful and that we're to bless. But I want you to know, folks, you're not in the first Adam. You're in the last Adam. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, if you read it. As in Adam, all die. That first Adam. So in Christ, shall all be made alive. Wait a minute. How many? All? That's a lot, ain't it? That's not a few. Or that's not just them certain Christians that go to a certain denomination or a certain church or... And sometimes when I hear some of these preachers carry on about their denomination and they throw it out there, it makes me sick. I could just throw up almost, I'll be honest with you. Because I'm thinking, brother, man, oh man, we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. Get over that stuff. There shouldn't be no walls in between us. You love God, I love God. You're my brother. I don't care. And even if you don't think you don't love God, you're still my brother. You have mistaken identity. You just don't know who you are yet. And it's part of my calling and part of your calling to begin to tell you who you are and to tell you got a great dad. Man, he loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. He's given you so many things, and he's going to keep unfolding those things throughout the eternities if you'll just let him speak to you. Spend some time with him. Sit and get quiet and still. Praise God. Okay. I'm going to talk to you, I'm going to share the poem with you, and I've shared this poem before, but the Lord had given me this poem back in 2015, and it was called Mistaken Identity. And this is where most of mankind is today when you start off in this. We often, and people are asking this question all the time, we often ask the question of who are we and why are we here? The answer is not as distant as we think, but it's really quite near. We stumble at the most obvious. We accept the most absurd. We believe that money and education are the answers, but truly our vision is blurred. We begin to admire the beauty in man, not realizing that it will fade. We convince ourselves that we're more than we are, which is only a charade. In finality, we'll come to realize our fame, that's just in ourselves, our fame that we're truly nothing but dust. And all the prized possessions we obtain will end up nothing but rust. Our true identity is hidden in Christ, and we can only find it within as we realize the sacrifice he made and that we've been released from the wages of sin. And not only us, but the whole world. And given a place of adoption, which is really a placing as a son, that fulfills his plan and his purpose, that we truly might become one. Yes, one with him and the Father, which has always been his ultimate goal. A complete uniting of the Holy Spirit in a marriage with our soul. For creation is standing on tiptoe waiting to see this wonderful sight. For they shall be released from the bondage of corruption into the power of his glorious might. And I tell you what, that's the only thing that will ever release them. And you're going to be part of that. You're going to be part of that great cloud of witnesses. You're going to be part of the body of Christ. You're going to be part of what John saw in the first chapter of Revelations when he said, I turned around and I saw one whose hair was white like wool. His eyes were like a flame of fire. He had girded about his paps with gold, you know, and goes on and describes him. Now, I don't think Jesus looked like that. I don't think Jesus looked like that when he was walking on the earth. I don't think he had legs of iron or brass and his feet of burnished brass and all that. He didn't have that when he walked on the earth. But what he's describing there is something so wonderful that he become undone. He fell down like one dead. And I got news for you. When the glory of God begins to rise in his body, what he saw was the fullness of Jesus Christ on the Lord's day, standing up as a mature man. And when he spoke, his voice was as the voice of many waters. And he said, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of water. And buddy, they were all saying the same thing. They weren't saying something more gibberish, because if they'd all been saying something different, which is what you hear out there in the church world today, they're all saying something different. Bless God, we got the answer. No, you don't. Jesus is the only answer. The Spirit of God in you is the only answer. I don't have the answer. I have him. He is the answer. But I tell you what, when he said that, he fell down as one dead. And it was Jesus. It was the fullness of Jesus. It was the body of Christ standing up as a mature, full-grown man. Oh, my goodness. You know, Daniel had almost that same revelation back in the book of Daniel. But when he saw it, when it spoke, it had the voice of a great multitude. Great multitude. That plural Elohim, that pluralness of God, a great multitude. But when he saw it, instead of paps being girded about with gold, it was loins girded about with gold. And you know why it was loins girded about with gold? Because God was getting ready to birth something into the earth, a revelation of who and what he was. You know, and he was showing that to Daniel. There's going to be something birthed. The gold talks about the divine nature. He was going to birth something into the earth. And when Jesus, the revelation of Jesus Christ back there, it was paps girded about. Why paps? Because the word for paps means female breast. Does that mean that Jesus was a female? No, that means that the fullness of the body of Christ is going to begin to bring creation and pull them right up to the breast of God. and feed them the sincere milk of the Word of God and begin to grow them up and begin to move them up into a mature man, you know. And you know, until we come to where we can eat meat, we're to desire to have the sincere milk of the Word. I've thrown some meat out here for you today. I hope you can eat it. Maybe you can and maybe you can't. But I tell you what, sometimes I have to give you the heavy stuff. Because if you keep feeding a half-grown child milk, guess what? They'll be so puny and so run down, they need to get the meat. They need to get that protein that'll build them strong muscles and them strong bodies. And I'm going to tell you what, we need to hear the meat of the Word. And I believe I've shared that with you today. And I want you to realize that in Genesis back there, like I told you, when God created the heavens and the earth, it was Elohim. And there's other names for God. And if you come back in Sunday school back there, you'll hear a lot of them. And you'll hear the meaning of them. Because it's all the different natures of God. But I tell you, Jesus was in that Elohim back there too. He was in that. Adam was a part of that until he stepped down out of that. And it really talks about more about Eve being the one that sinned, you know, than it does Adam. But because Adam lowered himself down, then what did Jesus have to do as being the Son of God? What did he do? He lowered himself down. Why? That he could bring you up. That you could raise in newness of life with him. That you could stand in the image and the likeness of God, the true image and likeness of God, the fullness of all that God created, said when he said, let us make man in our own image and our own likeness and let him have dominion. That's what he called you to do. That's who you are. But until we wake up to the realization of who and what we are in Christ, we'll still keep going around, oh, bless God, the devil's getting after me today. I love that old story I used to hear about a person going by and seeing the devil sitting on the curb crying. And they went over to him and they says, what's the matter? Why are you crying? Because I didn't get to do all them things that they blame me for all the time. Let me tell you what. You're going to come to the revelation and the realization someday that the devil is at nothing no more than the smith that blows on the coals. And he's the smith that blows on the coals and you know, he cannot, that spirit cannot touch your life in one way unless God allows it. And if he allows it, you know what it means when the smith that blows on the coals? You ever went to a blacksmith shop? They call him blacksmith. And that's because the blacksmith blows on the coals. He's the smith. And what he does is he gets a fire going in these embers, and then he has a big bellows over here. And he starts pumping that bellows. And all of a sudden that flame gets so white hot, if you stick metal in it, that metal will turn just white hot. And then he can take it out of there, and he can take his hammer and start pounding it and shape it however he wants. So if Scripture calls the devil the smith that blows on the coal, he's the one that sends the heat into your life, but God's the one that's got the hammer. He's the potter. He's the one that forms and fashions you and makes you into a vessel of honor and dignity. Praise God. Sometime when you see some of these things in Scriptures, you ought to go see some of these things in the natural. Boy, I tell you what, they'll bring a revelation to you like crazy. We went down to Herbie Moore's one time, and they had a blacksmith shop down there. And that guy was making horseshoes and all kind of things. And I tell you what, blacksmiths are super talented guys. Before there was machine shops and stuff, they were the guys that made all the machines and all the tools and fixed everything. But you know what they did? How they formed all that stuff? By putting it in the fire. And you know what? Our God is a consuming fire. And he's not there to destroy you. He's there to burn up the wood, the hay, and the stubble, that only the precious remains. Praise God. If you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. I know I've thrown a lot of things at you this morning, but I want you to know you are part of the Elohim. Read Psalm 82. Every place where the word God is used in Psalm 82 is the word Elohim. When it's talking about you, and when it's talking about the Spirit of God, it's still Elohim. But I want you to know that's a plural word. It's not a singular word. Praise God. Jim, have you got something? Go ahead. I can see you. I can see your face getting red. Hey, you have a word, a prophetic word or something? Go ahead.
There's a couple things been going through my mind. One of the things that the Lord spoke to me this week was, take me up into the heavenlies that I can see the new day that's breaking in me. Mm-hmm. And that was a prayer that I felt like he wanted all of his people to pray, to take us up, Father, into the heavenlies, that we can see this new day that's breaking in me. Not necessarily in the world. It's not going to break in the world until it breaks in you. And the Lord woke me up Wednesday, Thursday, I don't know what time it was, and all of a sudden I got this vision, what I call a vision, and it was, I could see the earth. And the earth had a cloud over it. It was a dark cloud of soot and smut. And underneath the earth, there was a people that was coming. And they were raising their hands underneath the earth, and they were raising the earth up above the soot and the darkness of that atmosphere. And they were moving the earth into the garden of God, because above that smut and whatever, that unbelief really, as the people that God was bringing forth and raising forth in this day that are joining the army of God, they are underneath this earth and they are pushing it and pushing it. And as they push it, they're raising people's understanding. And as people's understanding gets raised, they're coming above this atmosphere that they're in, this dark atmosphere of doom and gloom and judging people and being critical and criticizing. And they're coming back up into, the Lord spoke to me, he said, I'm bringing them back to the garden of God. God's really doing a tremendous thing in the earth today. And even when Brother Oscar was talking about how Saul, he was struck blind, and God sent a man to him, Ananias, and Paul was a man that persecuted Christians, literally killed Christians. I mean, he couldn't have been any worse, okay? Probably a lot worse than anybody standing here, if you want to judge. I've never killed any Christians that I know of or locked Christians in jail like he did. And who did God send to Paul? He sent a man by the name of Ananias. When you look up Ananias' name, it means favored of God, and it also means grace. So here was a man that was literally killing Christians, and God sent his favor to Paul, and he sent his grace to Paul in a man named Ananias to open his eyes. And God is favoring a people in this hour. He's raising a people up, and he's doing it by his grace. He's revealing to us all the doctrines that we have been standing in, that we've held on to, that we've clung to in our temples that we thought was life and light. And the Lord is bringing revelation in this hour to his people that are bringing those doctrines down and tearing those doctrines down, those idols, out of the temple of God. And he's restoring a great light into his people. And these are going to be the people that he's calling forth right now in this hour to go and restore creation. And it is happening right now in a people that are seeking his face.
Amen. Anybody else? You got something, Clyde?
Wait a minute.
Hang on a minute.
He was telling us reality is breaking forth. Yes. And he's speaking today, and he's speaking to you, saying, come out from among them. Mm-hmm. So reality comes out from among you to the world that doesn't know reality, and it receives reality. Mm-hmm. So if you want to be a part of God's plan, let God come out of you. Mm-hmm. Because I actually believe Oscar was saying it up there, and he says, when reality comes forth, mm-hmm. and God says, it's coming forth right now.
Amen.
Today.
Amen.
He appears unto all of those that are looking for him.
A second time without sin unto total salvation. And even for those that aren't looking for him, they're going to find him. They're going to find him, because you know why they're going to find him? Because of you. Because you're going to be part of that revelation that begins to reveal the love of God and the mercy of God to them. And I tell you, we're living in a wonderful time right now. God's going to do some wonderful things. Audrey, did you have something? I know you kind of walked over there. Anybody else?
I heard this morning on the way in, instead of looking for a revival, be the revival.
That's right. Well, and you know what? A lot of the word revival is sometimes it's reviving something back to the way it was, you know. Because a lot of times that's what a lot of times revivals were at times. You know, let's get back to the old thing. You know, God's going to go so far beyond that. His revelation is going to be so magnificent and so wonderful that I tell you what, as He begins to reveal Himself, people are just going to fall down and they're going to say, "God's in you of a sure." And the word declares that even, you know. And when we come to a realization, like Clive was saying, in Romans, the 8th chapter, in the Phillips translation, it says, creation has been subject to vanity, basically, not willingly, but by Him who subjected the same in hope. And it says, they can't as yet, in Phillips it says, they can't as yet see reality, not because they choose to be blind. God has so limited them for right now. But there's coming a time when He's going to take the limitations totally off. And when He takes the limitations off, people out there are going to be just like Paul. All of a sudden, they're going to have an encounter with God. And, buddy, when they have an encounter, I know I had that encounter. I had it at home. I didn't have it in the church. I hadn't been in the church in years when I had an encounter. I had it at home when God began to deal with me and deal with me and deal with me. And I finally just went in and had to say, "Lord, I can't run from You no more," you know. And I'm going to tell you what, a lot of creation out there is going to be like that too. God's spoken to some of those people out there. Some of them know Him a little bit, but they're going to know Him in a greater, greater way. Yeah. Praise God.
Can we sing the chorus as we go? Complete in Him. Complete, complete, complete in Him. We are complete in Him. Complete, complete, complete in Him. We are complete in Him. The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth in our Lord. The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth in our Lord. The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth in our Lord. And we are complete in Him. Like what you said, Audrey, I am, say it, I am complete in Him.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And you know, I will say this, and we'll close with this. I will say this, you know, He said He's King of Kings. So guess what? You're kings. And He's Lord of Lords. So guess what? You're lords. That's right. So we are complete in Him because He is complete, and He's the thing that completes us. You know, Scripture tells us that we're complete in Him. It actually tells us that, you know. So can't be no more fuller than complete. Complete is complete. Praise the Lord. God bless you all. Yeah, thank you.